1 Thessalonians 2:17, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavour the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. This is a reality, the experience of satanic hindrance. The Garden of Eden, with all of its perfections and all of its manifest glory, did not avoid experiencing conflict. Satan came right in there without any sense of the sanctity of the place and made his assault. And every inch of God's earth receives assault if there are those endeavoring to obey their God and live for the honor of Christ. In this verse, the apostle lays a charge at Satan for hindering him, preventing him from returning to the city where this church had been planted. He wanted to get there, and there's been much debate about what specifically was Satan doing. Previously to this, he makes reference to the influence of the Jews and their animosity on that occasion, and whether or not he's really combining the two, that Satan is working through these unbelieving Jews, or whether it's something distinct from that. The point is, however, that Satan hinders. He hinders. He hinders the work of God. Spurgeon spoke of Satan being vigilant in obstructing Christian effort, and he said, quote, "There was never a revival of religion without a revival of his opposition." If God is doing a work in a place, even in the heart of an individual, he will ramp up his assault upon that individual. He will not let it go quietly. He will not turn a blind eye to the spiritual advancement of any believer, let alone within a family or within a church, in a community or beyond. Now we pray in this place for revival, and there are unintended consequences when we pray like that. We pray for spiritual awakening, where by implication assuring that there's going to be opposition to everything we try to do. And you think of all the ministries of this church and everything we endeavor to do, whether it's on the streets or in the boys' home or in the neighborhood Bible club or over the radio or in the pulpit ministry or in the general living of God's people or whatever we're involved with, it's going to face continual opposition. Now let's think about this somewhat devotionally here tonight and how Satan hinders us. First, Satan hinders us from spiritual life. He hinders us from spiritual life. I don't need to say much here. I've mentioned it recently in the parable of the sower. Satan doesn't even want the seed to find the ground. He will endeavor to come and sweep it away as soon as it lands, removing the seed so that it doesn't bear any fruit or germinate in any way that would be against his intention or his goal. He hinders us then from spiritual life. So if you're not a Christian, Satan's against you. Satan tries to take away the seed from your heart. He endeavors to remove it before it can germinate and bring you onto Christ. So be aware of it. Listen to the word even more intently. Endeavor to think about it soberly, consider it meaningfully, that it might bear more fruit in your life, even in salvation. Also, Satan hinders our devotional life, not just spiritual life, but devotional life. He doesn't like you going on with God. Having lost the battle in terms of your soul, he doesn't just give up and say, "I'm going to leave you now and go after others who are lost." He also has an attention toward those who are going on with God. And so he endeavors to prevent you. He endeavors to stop you. You have an illustration of it in Acts 16. Always comes to mind when I think of Paul and Silas as they're going to pray. What happens? There's this damsel who comes out distracting these men of the servants of the Most High God and so on and so forth. But it's always as they're going to pray. It's a matter of distraction. If he can't stop you altogether, he will distract you from what you're endeavoring to do. And it's not just here. I am sure there are times that people, though we don't take any I don't inquire on Thursday morning about what kept you from prayer meeting last night. We don't do that. But I'm sure at times that we might hear details of what might have kept someone from the prayer meeting and then realize that it was a satanic attack. Someone might say, well, I just had a really bad day at work. And Satan managed to utilize that in some way, either through the event itself or in your how you handle it and respond to it, in order to get you so discouraged that you don't come to pray and seek the face of God when it's the place you're most needed for yourself and for those you would pray for. So he's always trying to prevent us in our devotional life, keep us weak. It's like keeping someone away from food, keeping them away from water so that they are so weak that they can't function. Men speak of being overworked and underpaid at times. And my thought today was that most solid Christians must admit that they are often overworked and underpaid. We are busy. The best believers in this congregation are busy. Those who are going on with God have their place in the kingdom. You're not idle. You're not doing nothing. You're raising your children to the best of your ability. You're trying to evangelize your community. You're involved in various aspects of ministry. You're not sitting doing nothing. But you might have to say there's more work and less prayer. And Satan's behind that. He loves Christians that if he can't get them stopped altogether, have them run, but without spiritual power, without heavenly unction, without the promised Holy Ghost, without seeking the face of God. Satan thirdly hinders our mental life. He's always working even in our minds, isn't he? I mean, one of his titles is he's accuser of the brethren. To what end does he accuse? To torment the mind. He can't change the status of the soul, but he can torment the mind. The accuser of the brethren, constantly. The slanderer, who's a liar from the beginning. And he lies in such a way to discourage you. He makes you doubt things that you have scores of promises from God that say, this is true about you. And still he comes and undermines your rest in those words. Torments the mind. And some are more susceptible to this because you live in your mind. Some of us aren't like that. I don't know, maybe it's, we don't. We don't have the brains for it, you know. We can just about deal with what's in front of us, you know. So we don't have time to live in our minds. Some of you live in your mind. You live a lot in your mind. And living in your mind can often be in an unhealthy way because you're turning over lies. You're being discouraged, being hindered. Fourthly, Satan hinders our family life. He hates families sold out for God. He hates a godly seed. I mean, that's the argument from the prophet, isn't it? God had the residue of the Spirit, but he gave Adam one wife. Why? Because it was conducive to raising a godly seed. That's why. So what does he do? He ramps up the efforts and breakdown of marriage, divorce and all the rest of it. Why? Well, the parents can look at it and assess it and think what's best for my happiness. But in most instances, it hinders the raising of a godly seed. Which is what? He's been around long enough. He has the long term in view. He's not so myopic as a husband and wife thinking about their own immediate happiness. He thinks in terms of, yes, use their propensity to think about immediate comfort to destroy future success for Christ. Finally, Satan hinders our church life. Oh, he hates the church going on with God, doesn't he? Think of how he hinders various aspects of church life. Distraction. Sanballat and Tobiah did not show up until Ezra and Nehemiah began to work. They come to distract. Stop the work progressing. You think it doesn't happen? Of course it happens. I don't know we always see it. I think sometimes we're ignorant of his devices. We're really not perceiving how he's functioning, but it's in the form of distraction. Also in division. Magnifying differences, misrepresenting words and actions. Division. He loves that. When you're going into your week thinking about differences and division and animosity between you and a brother instead of the work that needs to be done, body life, church life, defiance. He defies all the good which is done in the church. There's an element in which Satan functions a little like tall poppy syndrome. You know, he illustrate, talk about tall poppy syndrome. The person who, you know, is successful in business or high academic achiever, and everyone just hates them because they've done better. The tall poppy, lop it off. You know, he's not like the rest of us. Chop it down. There's a sense in which Satan functions similarly. Very Christians are kind of on the ground, not doing anything. One rises up and says, I'm going to go forward and labor for Christ. That's where the target is. End that person. Destroy them. And many of you are busy. You're busy for Christ. You go toe-to-toe with Satan, whether you're conscious of it or not, and what you do for the Lord. And so you are a target. Satan will hinder you. That's what happened June 24. That's what happened. Satan hindered. He hindered. What will come of it? I don't know. First text that came to my mind when I was hearing all this news was immediately to Philippians 1 verse 12. Oh God, let it be that this has happened rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And that may you yet prove to be the case. The other passage that came to my mind was later on in the day, as I realized our brother had not been released after, 10 or 11 hours? Which again was completely wrong. My mind was going to Paul. At the first, no man stood with me. That sense of being alone for the cause of the gospel. But the Lord stands with us. Stands with all of his people. Satan hinders. I was very early on in my open air ministry when I realized that when you're facing satanic attack, when you're on the street, when you're on the street and everyone's ignoring you, it's like they're passing by, you have this sense that I'm being ignored because I'm not a threat. You had those days in which you would feel the opposition being very intense. Sometimes people squaring up to you nose to nose. You're wondering what they're going to do. You go away realizing, why were they doing that? Satan was mad. He's mad. Working against the gospel. Let us not be ignorant, beloved. Let us pray. Let us pray that the Lord, even as happened in this church, that despite Satan hindering, the gospel advanced. Despite his best efforts, a church was planted. Despite all that he sought to do, these people went on. And the gospel was known across the world. Their faith was so pure and so real. That's what we want, isn't it? For the glory of Christ. So, let's seek the Lord tonight. We're going to sing before I give some prayer requests, brother.